Brummett turns on William. Head fake on Grace. Baseline jumper on the way off the front rim. Miss. Rebound Kylie Bergman. Foul. Put back in. And a chance at a three-point play for Kylie. 9 points in this fourth quarter for Kylie Bergman. And Lakeside's back up by 146-45.
Lakeside girls going for the NPL tournament championship for the first time in school history. That's coming up on Friday as they knock off the favorite on the girls' side, Osborne. A game, one of four you could have heard yesterday on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com. Don't worry, K-State and KU fans, we will talk Sunflower Showdown coming up in just a little bit. We have plenty to cover. We'll hear from Jerome Tang and Bill Self and some of the play-by-play from last night and Coach Tang addressing the crowd, staying on top to score table last night. So all of that and much more coming up. What it means for KU, what it means for K-State. Also the Chiefs injury report. A couple of interesting things there. And how about the Kraken, man? My hockey team's kicking butt, man. Kicking butt. Well, actually, I lost two in a row. But they're kicking a lot of butt right before that. But first, we hand over the Dusty recap of the NPL tournament semifinals, championships, third-place games, all set for Friday.
Yes, we'll go through those semifinal matchups first here. Again, Lakeside girls, as you just said moments ago, winning over Osborne 56-47. You know, I could tell that Trinity Luters wasn't playing at full capability just by the way she was playing and then the minutes that she was not receiving in the game, so I know that she was a little under the weather, but I know that Osborne's probably not going to use that as an excuse. They were up by 11 in the third quarter, 41-30, and Lakeside just stormed back and ended up getting the win. They turned a 20-point turnaround there to win it by 9 in the end, and Kylie Bergman, after scoring 8 in the second quarter, Osborne switched to a box and one on Bergman, and Gracie Reiner did a really good job on her in the third quarter holding her scoreless, but Kylie then decided, hey, I got to create for myself, and was able to do that there in the fourth quarter and scored 13 over 24 in the fourth, and was a huge part, as you heard there, of the run that Lakeside made, and obviously was an important part of them making it to the Northern Plains League Tournament Championship with that 56-47 win there last night over Osborne. Kylie helping them get the win was the SNS Drug and Home Health Athlete of the Game. Lakeside's now 9-3. It was their seventh straight win overall here this season, so they're going in the right direction. Obviously, Kylie Bergman with 24 to lead the way for the Lady Knights. Blocked the game, went to Lauren Brummett there in that one. The Osborne girls led by Gracie Reiner with 12, 10 points added by Brooke Beffert. Osborne losing for the first time this season. They're 9-1 and moving on to the third place game of the NPL tournament. The other girls game, St. John's Tipton goes to the NPL tournament championship. They've been there a couple times before, but they've never won it. So no matter what happens Friday, we will have a new NPL tournament champion for the first time in their program's history. So it'll be an interesting game coming up on Friday. St. John's Tipton jumped out to a 21-6 lead over Wilson. Got into foul trouble again, which has kind of been a theme for them here this season, and Wilson was able to stay in the game and got within seven in the third quarter, and St. John's Tipton, though, was able to extend it out. Carly Brummer got to play the full fourth quarter after she was in some foul trouble and then ended up having a huge fourth, having 11 points there, 21 in the game. She made 5 threes, and she was our athlete of the game from SNS Drug and Home Health in Beloit. And then, again, St. John's Tipton 62-42 win. They're now 7-4. Katie Brummer got the block of the game from H&R Block in Beloit. And then for Wilson, just like Osborne, their first loss of the season. They dropped to 9-1 on the girls' side. 18 points for Anna Thielen, the only double-figure scorer for the Lady Dragons. Over on the boys' side, our first game, Osborne winning over Thunder Ridge, 56-41. It was a rubber match as Thunder Ridge beat Osborne in Osborne in December, and then Osborne beat Thunder Ridge in Kensington early this month, and Osborne getting that win here. It was a tight one in the first half, a 9-8 Osborne lead after one. Thunder Ridge led 21-20 at half, but Osborne outscored them 24-14 in the third, and then another 12-6 run in the fourth to win it by 15, 56-41. Johnny Hamel with 19 points, had a big second half with 15 of his 19 in the second half, and Dalton Garman had 16 for Osborne. Continues to shoot the ball well for the Bulldogs and score the basketball. A second scoring threat has been big for them. Osborne's now 9-1, their eighth straight win this season. And then block of the game went to Dawson Lance, their athlete of the game, Hamel and Garman. Also for Thunder Ridge, they were led by Dylan Bice with 14-11 for Jace Randall as Thunder Ridge drops 7-3. They move to the third place game coming up on Friday. And then the St. John's Tipton boys jumped out to a 15-5 lead over Lakeside, led by 15 at halftime. Lakeside did get within four toward the end of the third quarter, but St. John's Tipton went on a 7-0 run to end the third and start the fourth, and they go on to win it by 11, 65 to 54. Daniel Ireland, a career high 20. Edward Hrenek, the freshman, has scored in double figures five of the last six games, and he ended with 16. 14 points added by Luke Bates. Ireland and Hrenek, the athletes of the game. Block of the game went to Ross Hudson for Lakeside. Hudson and Jace Cunningham both had 14 for the Knights as they dropped right back to 500 at 6-6. St. John's Tipton is 7-4. Again, the championship game will be St. John's Tipton against Osborne on the boys' side, and on the girls' side, Lakeside against St. John's Tipton coming up on Friday. So third place games on Friday. We'll have Osborne against Wilson on the girls' side and Thunder Ridge against Lakeside on the boys' side. We'll get things started on Katy Country 94 Friday with pregame coverage beginning at 2:50 from Lincoln and tip off at 3 o'clock with those games coming up on Friday. Third place games first and then the championship games after that. There are other games there at Lincoln in the Northern Plains League Tournament Consolation Bracket. On the girls' side in Consolation Semis, Rock Hills beat Thunder Ridge 45-29. Sylvan Lucas over Pike Valley 51-36. Boys' games, Pike Valley over Southern Cloud 47-37, and Sylvan Lucas won over Wilson 52-31. The consolation part of the tournament in Tescott, the girls, Southern Cloud winning over Chase 36-34. Natoma beat Lincoln 42-32. That was Southern Cloud's first win this season, by the way, on the girls' side. The boys' side, Rock Hills wins their second in a row. They won 41-34 over Tescott. Chase beat Natoma 69-28. So those are the scores from the NPL tournament. You can find the updated brackets and everything you need to know about the league tournament at ncksports.com. Other scores from Tuesday night on the girls' side of the Mid-Continent League tournament. Smith Center in the first round winning over TMP Marion 60-51. They move on to the semis coming up Friday evening in Waukini at Trigo Community High School. They'll take on Hoxie, who won 63-43 over Norton. Also in the Adolph Rupp Invitational at Halstead is where the Concordia boys are playing this week, and they won over Halstead 72-46. They'll move on to play Haven coming up Friday night. Full brackets for the midseason tournaments, all the score schedule updates for the NCAA, NPL, and other area league schools, Smith Center and Concordia, ncksports.com. Right now, you can also check out the newest KBCA rankings. As far as the NPL teams, we might see some changes in those, but what was released yesterday, Osborne was still number 2 in 1A Division 1 girls, 1A Division 2 girls. Wilson was number 5, Thunder Ridge number 9, and 2A girls, Smith Center number 3, and 3A girls, Phillipsburg number 2, Southeast Saline number 9, Minneapolis number 10 this week in 3A girls. Then on the boys' side, 1A Division 1, Osborne number 8. And Southeast Saline still number 1 there in 3A boys this week after getting back there last week. Full rankings again for the KBCA at ncksports.com. So that catches you up on all of that portion of what's going on in local sports.
Where's all the complaining for Southeast Saline Trojan fans about their team being ranked ahead of Minneapolis in girls, even though Minneapolis beat them?
Yeah.
Where's the travesty? Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, you know, I don't see Minneapolis whining about it, but boy, Southeast was all upset about being ranked 2 instead of 1 in the rankings, which I understand it. I just think they made a way bigger deal than he needed to about it. So here we are, and they're not saying a word, and they're ahead of a team that they lost to. I mean, at least Sabetha could say, and it wasn't their fault, they could say, well, we haven't lost, Southeast hasn't lost. You know, we haven't played each other. What's the excuse that Southeast ranked ahead of Minneapolis in the KBCA rankings? You want to keep delving into these rankings and breaking them down and criticizing them? That shows that nobody knows that Southeast Minneapolis played each other.
Yeah.
That means the people that are voting on it, which are coaches typically, don't know what's going on across the state. And they vote based on, this team, they have a loss. They look at the record. They don't see who they played.
100% record. And that's why, yes, Wilson was ranked number 5 this week in 1A.
On record.
Two
and they're not that good.
The best team they've beaten this year was 5-6. So,
yes,
again, like I said in the broadcast last night, you play who you play, you beat who you beat. You're 9-0 going into the game yesterday. But if you look at it and dive into it, you'll know that that's probably there's a reason for that.
That's where the media would be better off doing the rankings. And trust me, a lot of coaches I know would be more than happy to hand it off to the media and let them rank it. Not the coaches have enough things to worry about.
Yeah.
And the media would do a little more research on it. I'm not blaming coaches. I mean, it's a Kansas Basketball Coaches Association rankings. But anybody that gets their panties in a bunch about the rankings really needs to chill out, because I don't think they understand how it works. And it don't even matter at the end of the year anyway. Locker room chats tonight.
Yeah. Tonight, we'll talk to coaches Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge beginning around 5:15 on Katy Country 94 and katycountry94.com, so stay tuned for that.
Locker room chats tomorrow. We'll put them at 5:05 on Z96.3 Lake, because we'll have, Beloit girls at 3 o'clock against Ulysses tomorrow. And Ulysses has lost 24 games in a row. Willett girls are 2-8, and that's a first-round matchup, which is weird. Willett's lost 6 in a row, but almost beat the 10th-ranked team in the state last week, lost by 2 in the final seconds. And Ulysses, they were outscored by the opposition last year by 35 a game. This year they're being outscored by 31 a game. So it's a very favorable matchup for the Lake girls. If they win, they play a Colby team that's kind of younger, that's 7-3. And dare I say it, if the Lake girls play like they did against Minneapolis the other night, they could be in the championship out at Colby. I'm not lying. I mean, Colby's not invincible when it comes to all that. Coach Walters is calling on line one. You know, when we're on the air, that's when. Tell Coach Walters to be available when you call him the first time. Yeah. You better hurry. You're going to miss him. Okay. All right. Hey, Coach, we need you to fit in our schedule a little bit more, all right? No, I'm just kidding. Just messing with him. Everybody has stuff going on. The world doesn't revolve us around us radio guys. We certainly know that. We wish it did.
Nice. Sure.
It'd be more convenient, but yeah. but it isn't. But anyway, the Colby tournament, Orange and Black Classic, gets going tomorrow. Blake girls play USS at 3 o'clock, pregame at 2:50 on KDCountry 94, KDCountry94.com, live video streaming, NCKSSports.com, Bill Blake Children channel. And that'll be in the auxiliary gym of the Colby Event Center. And then the Blake boys will take on Pine Creek, Colorado. I'll have to check and see if they won last night. They were 9-2 prior to last night's game. And the Blake boys won 7 in a row. They're 7-3. It'll be a really nice step up in competition for Blake to see more of what they are going into that one. Pine Creek, equivalent of about a 5A in Kansas, enrollment about 1,000, and they're out of Colorado Springs, Colorado. So that'll be a good test for the boys tomorrow at 4:45, and then win or lose, we'll have their games coming up on Friday, and the Blake girls will play, no matter what, Friday at 6:30. The boys will play 8:15, if I remember that correctly off the top of my head. And then also, and Pine Creek did lose last night, so Pine Creek is 9-3. And then on Saturday, we'll have two more games, one for the girls, one for the boys. Now, if the girls and boys play at the exact same time, we've already worked it out with they are competition of ours, we are competition of theirs, but we have done this once before at the Orange or Black Classic. There's no sense in both of us doing the same game and another team not getting coverage. So I've already worked it out with KVSV to where on Saturday, if the boys and girls play at the same time, we will carry the boys' game on KD Country 94, and KVSV will carry the girls. A few years ago, it was the other way. We covered the girls, they covered the boys. My son's playing on the boys, and obviously I would like to see my son play and not be calling the girls game while my son's playing. So, and that's no offense to the girls team, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory why I would want to see the boys
that
instead.
Makes sense.
You know, I think that makes some sense. I would hope so. So that's the plan on Saturday. If they play at the same time, that's the only time they play at the same time, would be on Saturday. Then that's how we'll get them both covered. So once again, the girls would be on KVSV and the boys on KD Country 94. If the games are different times, then both games will be on both of those stations, and you can pick as to who you want to listen to or watch the live video stream at nckssports.com via the Blake Children channel. Only bad thing about that on Saturday would be the girls game wouldn't be video streamed, but you know, if we only miss one out of a whole bunch, that's pretty doggone good, and we can't clone ourselves. And I know I would like to sometimes. one of me could sleep a lot more. Oh, that'd be nice. And then there are people out there, please, God, no, do not give us another Wade Gershner. We do not need it. No.
The world doesn't need another one of me out there.
Nah, Jason Broadfoot the second. All right, so let's jump into KU and K-State last night. Here's some of the highlights towards the end.
Oh, and he nearly threw it away, but Harris collects the pass in front of Noel. Hawks down one with 2:30 to go. Juan to drive, tight ropes the baseline, kicks to Wilson. He wants a three. He'll get a three. Desi gets it into Marquise Noel. Shot clock now at 20. Here comes K-State. There's the lob for Key, and he stuffs the ball. He got the stuff. Keontae Johnson now with 24, and K-State leads with 20 seconds to go. Here we go. Here's the inbounds. Harris, 10 seconds to go. 9 seconds. He's got it at center circle. 6 seconds to go. He'll drive to the left, towards the baseline. Loses the ball. He's on the floor. 1 second to go. It's over. It's over. It's over. Kansas State has won the game. 83-82.
Pettiford slaps it with the left hand. Looking. Finds Harris between the rings. Here we go. Final 10 seconds in Manhattan. Jayhawks down one. Harris being hounded by Carter. Drives. Lost the handle. It's on the deck. K-State's got it. And the Cats are going to win. Harris fumbled the ball. And they're storming the court in Manhattan. as the Wildcats hang on to win in overtime, 83-82.
Man, I love having both those calls at the end. That gives you a perspective of two different guys doing play-by-play, two different styles, and both described it very in a similar way, but in a different way, if that makes any sense. And those are both very good calls by Wyatt Thompson and Brian Haney. Of course, you heard the Jalen Wilson three that gave KU the lead in overtime, the Keontae Johnson alley-oop dunk on a terrific pass by Marquise Noel, who had a tough night offensively, but came up with the biggest pass. It was well defended by Jalen Wilson. Here's Jerome Tang on that play they drew up out of a timeout. In past years, and Dusty will attest to this, it seemed like when K-State would have a late second situation, they would dribble and heave a shot that wasn't very good with Bruce Weber. But with Jerome Tang last night, they get an alley-oop dunk.
It is something that we run, yes, and it's what we were looking for. I didn't necessarily think he was going to catch it and dunk it, but we wanted to isolate him on the side of the floor, and we knew that they would be on top of him.
So, a terrific game last night between both teams. There's so many things to delve into, and we can lead this into K-State in Focus. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. All right, so this is kind of a KU K-State in focus, to be quite honest with you. Number 13 K-State comes away with the win last night. On the alley-oop pass from Noel to Johnson with 25 seconds left gave K-State the win, 83-82 in overtime. It snaps a seven-game losing streak to the Jayhawks in the process. There are 9 lead changes, 13 ties. First top 15 matchup since 2013 between the two rival schools. K-State led by as many as 14 at 33-19, but by halftime, KU is within 5. K-State had a 9-point lead early in the second half, 51-42. KU would battle back. KU would battle back again, take their first lead of the second half with under 9 minutes to play, and from there it was game on. Back and forth the rest of the way. It was tied at 70. Marquise Noel layup gave K-State a 72-70 lead, but Jalen Wilson was fouled. He made 2 free throws. Jalen, by the way, was 11-12 from the line and played all 45 minutes of this game. He had to. We'll explain that in a moment. That tied it with 57 seconds to go. K-State missed on 4 opportunities in the final minute to win it in regulation. KU had a chance with the ball in their hands with 23 seconds to go, and then call a timeout at 12 seconds to go, and then turn it over. And it was stolen by Keontae Johnson, who nearly laid it in to win the game at the buzzer. And then, of course, with 25 seconds to go in overtime, the alley-oop to Johnson, as you heard. KU had one last chance, but once again, KU did not get off a shot. Turnover by DeJuan Harris sealed the fate of the Jayhawks. K-State wins by 1, 83-82 in overtime. Keontae Johnson and Desi Sills, who was fantastic off the bench, each scored 24 for K-State. Naquan Tomlin, who didn't even play high school basketball. This kid is a freak, and I mean that in a nice way. 15 points and 10 rebounds, his first double-double of his career. Jalen Wilson played all 45 minutes. He had 38 points, 9 rebounds for KU, 11-12 from the line. He was sensational. KJ Adams scored 17. Grady Dick had 16. They both fouled out, which was a huge part of this game last night. So let's get to a few things here. And we'll hear from the coaches in just a moment. There are reasons for both of these teams and their fan bases to really be excited. I'll start with the KU side. KU had not one, not two, but 3 starters foul out of this game and still had the ball in their possession with a chance to win. Kevin McCuller didn't score a point in this game. He struggled. He's still probably the best guy at guard, Keontae Johnson, so that was huge when he left. He fouled out with 5:47 to go on a foul that wasn't a foul. There was no contact. It was a phantom foul. And by the way, K-State fans, chill out for a second. There were calls. There are phantom fouls on both. Noel got a foul that was a phantom foul. Keontae Johnson had a phantom foul. There were phantom fouls both ways. No doubt about it. The second one to put Johnson in foul trouble and put him on the bench. The third one to put him on the bench. That was key to the game because Johnson had to be on the bench and not on the floor. And Keontae Johnson at times was the best player on the floor last night at times. So McCuller fouls out on what was a phantom foul, 5:47 to go in regulation. KJ Adams, I said if KJ Adams fouls out, KU's going to lose. He fouled out with a minute 43 to play. in regulation. Okay. Then in overtime, Grady Dick fouled out with a minute 31 to play. So if you add up all that playing time, because McCuller, Adams, and Grady Dick would have played the rest of the game. They would not have gone to the bench except for an offense-defensive substitution. That's almost 20 minutes of playing time against a top 15 opponent on the road. That's 20 minutes less of playing time combined for those three starters. That's gigantic. Mm-hmm. That is gigantic. KU shot 6 of 29 from 3. Grady Dick, I think, was 1 of 8 from 3 at one point. And he had some good looks. KU committed 15 turnovers, so did K-State. KU missed 10 free throws. That was costly. And yet, despite all of those things I just told you, KU had three starters foul out. 20 minutes of combined playing time gone because they were Dairy Queen disqualified by the officials. Shot 6 of 29 from 3. They missed 10 free throws. They're on the road. They still had a chance to win. At the end of regulation, with 23 seconds left, didn't get off a shot, turned it over. At the end of overtime, 25 seconds when they got the ball, they called the timeout, they had time then to set up a play, and K-State, give them a ton of credit. You can sit here, Bill Self said after the game, listen, that's on me. We didn't even get off a shot at the end of regulation. We didn't get off a shot at the end of overtime. That's on me. True, that's on the coach. It also is credit to K-State's defense, okay? But that is unusual for KU, a Bill Self coach team to have a last second possession and not even get off a shot, not once but twice in a game of this magnitude. And then of course Bill Self had a bad night. He called a timeout right before Jalen Wilson shot the NBA range three with 4 on the shot clock that he swished. That would have given KU a 4-point lead with 40 seconds to go, and odds are they win the game if Bill Self doesn't call that timeout. Now, I've had some people that were at the game, they said the whistle happened and Jalen hoisted it right after the whistle. Like he might not have hoisted it had he not heard the whistle. Now, I don't know. I wasn't at the game. But whatever the case may be, that was 3 points that KU then had 4 seconds on the shot clock. Bill Self's great at drawing up plays after timeouts, and Wilson had a contested three and nearly made it anyway, but he didn't. So that was big. So it wasn't the greatest night for Bill Self from that standpoint. He puts a lot of blame on himself. But think about this for a second. In overtime, okay, the final minute 31 of overtime, here's who Kansas had on the floor. DeJuan Harris, not an offensive threat. Not very often. Bobby Pettiford, not an offensive threat. Joe Yesufu, a little bit of an offensive threat, but not a major threat. Zach Clements is not an offensive threat whatsoever. And Jalen Wilson, who had 38 last night, 12 of 25 from the floor, 11 of 12 from the line. The only guy that is a threat to you is Jalen Wilson. Yep. So in overtime on that final possession, K-State did what they were supposed to do, and that is you take away Jalen Wilson. You make any one of those other four guys take a shot. You can live with DeJuan Harris taking a shot. You can live with Bobby Pettiford taking a shot. You can live with Yesufu shooting an open three. You can live with Zach Clements taking an open shot, and maybe they make it and KU wins, but they turned it over, so we never found out because Yesufu was open in the corner if Harris could have got it to him. So K-State did what they're supposed to do against Jalen Wilson. For the life of me, I don't understand why teams, and in particular last night, K-State, Jalen Wilson, I know he can drive to his left, but last night he drove right all night long. Like, make him go left. I mean, I'm sure the scouting report says go make the guy go left.
Priscilla pointed that out a couple of times.
I don't understand why they don't make him go left, but hey, it's all good. So Kansas, once again, on the floor in the final minute 31 was Harris, Pettiford, Yesufu, Clements, and Wilson. That hasn't been a combination all year long. Now, you can sit here and say, no, wait a minute, don't make excuses. KU had guys foul out, so be it. Naquan Tomlin fouled out there in overtime, late in overtime. But what I'm saying is it wasn't a normal combination of players that KU's used to having out there. Listen, those are all Division I scholarship players. They're all good enough to play in those situations, don't get me wrong. But they're not used to being in that situation, in a hostile environment, on the floor, when you have one offensive threat, and Wilson still carried him. So that's the KU angle, all right? I presented the KU angle. KU can sit here and say, we had three starters foul out. We lost 20 minutes of combined playing time because those three were DQ'd. We shot 6 of 29 from 3. We missed 10 free throws. We didn't get off a shot when we had the ball at the end of regulation and in overtime, and we still almost won the game. Yeah, that's what KU can say. Now, here's what K-State can come back with, all right? So, see, I'm an equal opportunity employer here. Here's what K-State can come back with. We won the game, and Keontae Johnson had a phantom second foul and a bit of a phantom third foul, and he had to sit on the bench for, you know, significant minutes. He wasn't out for like 10 minutes, but he was out for, you know, certain portions of the game. And I thought Keyontae Johnson was the best player on the floor at times. Jalen Wilson was the best player on the floor all night because he never left the floor. He played all 45 minutes and still was performing great. Keyontae Johnson was the second best player last night, and I can argue the way he played at times, he was the best player. I think he's the best NBA prospect of anybody on the floor last night. Jalen Wilson certainly beat right there. And those two were terrific last night. Okay, but K-State, we talk about all the things that KU still had a chance to win that went against them. Well, K-State had Keyontae Johnson foul trouble. Marquise Noel only scored 4 points. And if you told any of us before the game that Marquise Noel is going to score 4 points, you would say what?
KU's going to win.
K-State has no chance. Right. That's what you say. K-State has no chance if Marquise Noel has 4 points. He had 3 turnovers, 7 assists, had the biggest assist, a great pass on the alley-oop, which was great defense by Wilson. Perfect pass. Johnson executed. Great play call by Jerome Tang. I'll tell you the two guys that saved the bacon for K-State last night. Obviously, Johnson. But Desi Sills was fantastic. Desi Sills off the bench was spectacular. He had 24 points off the bench, 31 bench points for K-State. That was huge. So you can sit here and say, well, KU, all this stuff happened, and we still should have won, could have won. K-State can sit here and say, gosh, we feel pretty good. We won the game, and one of our best players missed time due to foul trouble, and our other best player had 4 points. So it's a very weird situation when I look at this game last night. These two teams are going to play again in 13 days at Allen Fieldhouse. And I'm going to assure you that that game will be much different than last night's game. And I'm not saying that implying that KU is going to win by 30. That's not what I'm implying. What I'm saying is this game against KU for K-State in Lawrence on January 31st could be the same result. K-State could win 83-82 in overtime. What I'm telling you is the game will be completely different. And here's why it's going to be completely different. Do we think Kevin McCullough is not going to score and foul out with 5:47 to go in Lawrence?
No.
Do you think that Grady Dick is going to miss wide open 3-point shots like he did last night? No. Do you think that KU is going to have 3 guys foul out in regulation, 2 in regulation, 1 in overtime in Lawrence?
100% no. 1,000% no if it was legal, but it just goes up to 100.
Right. Do you think Kansas is going to go 6 of 29 from 3 at Allen Fieldhouse?
No.
Do you think Kansas is going to miss 10 free throws? Well, that's possible. I'll say that's possible. Do you think Kansas with a last shot opportunity in regulation or overtime is going to turn it over both times and not get off a shot in Lawrence?
No.
Okay, now, on the flip side, do you think that Desi Sills is going to score 24 in Lawrence?
No.
Do you think Marquise Noel is going to be held to 4?
No.
Ah, there we go. See? So there are lots of reasons why you can sit here as a K-State and KU fan after last night's game and say, hey, that was one hell of a game. Somebody had to win. And the rematch is going to be completely different because, first of all, you're going to have, I think, all your starters for both teams are going to be on the floor the entire game in Lawrence. I don't think anybody's fouling out. And I'll say it real quickly, and then we'll get back on track. If you go to 4 quarters like the women do in the NBA, last night's game is more enjoyable. We had 49 free throws, 45 fouls, or 49 fouls, 45 free throws. We had stoppages all the time. We had free throws. It became a free throw shooting competition, which K-State slightly was better than KU. And in the end, that might have been, of course, the difference. But I want to see the best players in the best teams, and these are two of the best 15 teams in the country. I think they're two of the best 10 teams in the country. I want to see them play. If they're fouls or fouls, I'm with it. But if you go to the 4 quarters, you're not in the bonus as often and as long, and then we actually get some rhythm. We actually get up and down. We don't have a stoppage on every whistle, and we go to the line to shoot 1 and 1s and 2 shot fouls, and that's what that became last night. Now, having said that, still a great game, wonderful game. Would have had more rhythm, would have had more flow if we didn't have all the fouls. And, of course, KU fans are going to be sitting going, yeah, I'd be cool with that because we had 3 guys foul out. Okay? Now, here's Jerome Tang afterwards on the hard-fought win.
All the credit to Kansas. I mean, Jalen Wilson was incredible. They're an incredible basketball team and program and Coach Self. But tonight, we made one more play than they did. And like I told the guys in the locker room, we only got one win tonight. Okay? And so now we have to prepare, do what we have to do tonight, the next right thing, so that we can prepare to win the next one.
Which will be against Texas Tech, who hasn't won a game in the Big 12. That looks like a trap game, doesn't it? Here's Bill Self on plays that stood out.
You know, we don't get a shot at the end of regulation, the end of overtime. I mean, that's on me. So, you get a shot. And then, you know, I call timeout when Jalen makes a bomb, too. So that could have been the difference in winning and losing right there, too. But we don't get a shot at the end of regulation and overtime. We don't get a stop at the end of the first half. They scored two. And then we don't get a stop at game point on a lob. So to me, those four plays were the difference in the basketball game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with him. He's totally right. And that's what it was. Every close game in college hoops or even NBA hoops or any level of hoops, if it's a close game like that, it's about making one more play that the other team didn't make, and or making, you know, a free throw that the other team didn't make, whatever the case may be. And so K-State wins. They snapped KU's 10-game winning streak this year. K-State's 4-0 in overtime this season. Their fourth win against a ranked team already. KU still leads the all-time series at Bramlage 29-6, which is still insane. KU and K-State are now both 16-2. They're 5-1 in the Big 12. They're in a three-way tie with Iowa State, as Iowa State won last night 78-67 over number 7 Texas. All three of those teams, Iowa State, K-State, and KU, are all undefeated at home at 10-0. Okay, more on Iowa State in a moment. Also, Texas Tech, who's going to be an opponent for K-State coming this weekend. More on them in a moment as well. Now, I want to touch upon the Jerome Tang trying to get his student crowd and anybody, any adults, another adult, whatever the case may be, whoever is the adults are, because I'm sure there's some of them too, doing the FKU chant, which of course happened last night. There was a media journalist that was tweeting, said that he heard it at least 8 times. Jerome Tang was trying to clean it up. We said yesterday, it won't be cleaned up. We know it's going to happen. But he was not, you could see they had a shot of him when they did the chant, and he was not happy. He was not pleased, and he knew it wasn't going to, I think deep down, he knew it wasn't going to stop it right off the bat, okay? But here is Jerome Tang addressing the crowd after the game. First of all, the message is tremendous. Love over hate. And he said it on Scott Van Pelt last night when he did his interview. He said, you know, Martin Luther King Day was just the other day. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Love over hate. You can do a lot of things with love over hate. And so here is Tang after the game. By the way, a little bit unsafe to jump on the scorer's table. Good thing Jerome's not, you know, 350. of course, you're 350. You're probably not jumping up there anyway. But that's kind of scary a little bit. I mean, can you imagine if he slipped or fell or something? But, I mean, it was quite the scene, no doubt. And I love the message that he sends, not only to his school, but I wish every school would heed on that message, you know, to be quite honest with you. But here's why. This is Tang explaining why he did what he did after the game.
Well, I was really disappointed in the introduction when our students started chanting the FKU chant. It's like, crap, I hadn't gotten it across yet, you know, and there's work to be done. And then at the end of the game, when they were on the floor and they started chanting it again, you know, I really want them to understand that, you know, we don't have to degrade the other team. We can dislike them all we want, but let's cheer for us. Let's just let America hear Kansas State and not hear the other name, whoever, you know what I mean? And so that's all that's about. I believe, like, we can have a terrific culture here because of the passion of our fans. And you know, somebody has to say it, right? We just can't, like, that's kids to be kids. That's not, somebody has to say it. And, you know, if we're losing, then maybe my voice doesn't carry as much weight. But thankfully, God's put us on, given us this platform. We're winning. It's his platform. And I can speak on some of those things because this is a special place. And, man, happiness, you know, I mean, this is a really special place. And, I want the country to know how special it is, not be known for the dumb chant.
Yeah.
I stand up and applaud. It is a dumb chant. And what Jerome Tang is doing is you're lifting up your fan base or the fans that do this. And by the way, not all K-State fans do this. He's classing it up. You know, it's funny. K-State has the classy cats. And those ladies are classy. Mm-hmm. But doing the FKU chant is not classy at all. And I'll get to another classless thing here in a moment, in fairness to K-State people, about another organization and team coming up in just a moment. But he's right. He has a platform. Do students listen to what he has to say if he was 14 and 17?
Not as much. No.
The guy that had that record, nobody would have listened to
right.
him.
Right. Anyway.
And he also wouldn't have done it anyway.
Like, right.
He's not interested
but
in that part of
if
it.
If K-State right now was, what are they, 16 and 2? If they were 10 and 6, would K-State fans listen to him?
Not as much.
Not like this. Yeah.
No, of course not. But here's what Jerome Tang has done so well. And this is why he has a chance of getting the K-State students and others that chant the dumb chant. He said dumb chant, his words. I agree with him. I think Dusty agrees.
Absolutely.
Okay, it is a dumb chant, especially when you're not even playing them. But he's established this from the beginning. And let me explain. When he got hired, he reached out to the fan base. He is at he's at fraternity houses, sorority houses, in regards to, you know, outside, hanging out with people. I think he was playing ping pong one time I saw. They do the couch thing.
Hang with Tang segment,
hang with Tang,
right?
With the,
like,
students.
That's how you build that
yes.
rapport right away.
Right.
A lot of coaches don't do that,
no.
right?
No.
He's unique in that situation,
yeah.
obviously. But build that rapport before you even play a game.
Right. So my point is, he had to do that
yeah.
before he even coached a game at K-State. Then he had to go out and win at K-State, which he's done, 16-2, 5-1 in the Big 12. And so he had to do step one, which is reach out and understand the students, intertwine with the students, for them to get to know who he is. Okay, he's a man of faith as well. Okay, that was step one. Step two is to win. That's a harder step. And then once you win, those two things combined give you the platform that he had last night on national TV with Scott Van Pelt for 3 minutes on ESPN, which was a free promo for Manhattan, Kansas and Kansas State University because of what he's done. Talking about Martin Luther King, talking about his faith, talking about a dumb chant, talking about how we need to support our team instead of degrading the other. That's a tremendous message. And maybe Republicans and Democrats in this country could actually, you know, grab a quarter and buy a clue, because Jerome Tang should run for office. Because Jerome Tang is smarter than any elected officials that we have in D.C. Okay, granted, there are probably some good ones that fight the good fight but are outnumbered. Because what we have in our society and politics is exactly the opposite. The hatred, that the stuff we're seeing in social media from actual politicians now is deplorable. And they're elected officials. I still hesitate to call many of them leaders. Some people loosely call them leaders. But if those are people we elect, and then we end up following their lead, which is not a good one in many ways, then we become worse as a society. Whether those people are Republican or Democrats or a man or a woman, whatever the case may be. Jerome Tang is talking about, listen, instead of tearing everybody down and hating on people, how about, yeah, we don't like them. That's cool. It's okay to not like somebody, but let's love on the people that we really care about. That's what he's saying. Let's lift up people that we do care about, all right? And let's not hate on other people. I know I was raised, and I've said this to my kids before, and I'm not over the top with it, but I've heard my kids every once in a while say they hate this or they hate that. And I said, no, you don't hate it. You just don't like it. Because hate is a stronger word than I don't like it. Like when mom makes something that you don't like at the table, and trust me, I was guilty of it, I'm sure, when I was younger, it's like, oh, I hate this. Okay, you just degraded your mom, who just took all the time to make a meal for you. You sure as hell as a kid weren't making your own meal. You come home from school and you're like, well, it's for dinner, mom. There's never hardly a thank you. Now, maybe some kids are better than mine. There isn't much of a thank you. Mom or dad. Dad can cook, too, by the way. It can be either parent. Let's not be sexist about it, right? So it can be a parent, a mom or a dad or whoever it is, makes a meal. And you get the food and you try it and you don't like it. And that's okay that you don't like it. You know what? You can't like everything. And then you say at the table, ah, this is horrible. I hate this. Wouldn't the better way to be would be, maybe you might not want to make this next time because maybe everybody at the table don't like it, okay? That'd be a more polite way of doing it, right? I don't really like it. Or if mom asks you, what do you think about this recipe? I hate it. Or mom says, what do you think about the food I made tonight? It's all right, but not my favorite. Which one is the better way of going about it?
It's probably the second one, okay. For sure.
Doesn't it make mom feel a little bit better?
Yeah.
Instead of making her feel like crap, or dad, or whoever it is? Well, we can apply the same thing in life. We're all guilty of falling into these traps, the negativity of the world. And I think that's what Jerome Tang is saying. Listen, let's be positive. Let's focus on the positives instead of negatives. And that's why he said that KU lives rent-free in K-State's head. And we established this yesterday, and any objective K-State fan knows that's true. All right. It might not be for that particular K-State fan, but they know many K-State fans where it is true.
For the perspective of what he's talking about, exactly. It's absolutely true. Yeah.
Absolutely. So this was tremendous last night. And you know what's really interesting to me about the K-State win is that in the past, okay, and think about this for a moment. I would say the last time it would be maybe Bob Huggins / Frank Martin, but you maybe could go even further back than that. But when Jim Woldridge beat KU and Bruce Weber beat KU, you know what the narrative was after K-State beat KU? And those coaches did beat KU. Jim Woldridge won in Lawrence, believe it or not. Those coaches beat KU. KU was still top of everything, right? And K-State was average, maybe. Maybe they had an occasional good year, as we talked about, where they won the Big 12 a couple times with Bruce Weber. They went to Elite Eight one time, so forth and so on. But what was the narrative after K-State would beat KU under those coaches? And even Frank Martin, to an extent. What was the narrative after the game? It was, wow, unbelievable upset. That is crazy. K-State was due to win one in a blue moon. And the narrative was more about, what did KU do wrong? What's wrong with KU? How could KU lose to a K-State team led by Bruce Weber that's 14-12 or whatever the record they might have had? That was the narrative. It wasn't about K-State winning. It was about what KU didn't do right. Here is what has already changed with Jerome Tang, and he's done it, and it's insanely incredible. He's done this in a span of 18 games. Last night's win, after the game, was predominantly about K-State winning. It wasn't about KU choking. It wasn't about KU not being prepared. It wasn't about KU overlooking K-State. It wasn't K-State playing the best game of the year and they somehow found a way to win because Jacob Pullen goes nuts. No. K-State flat out beat KU straight up. K-State dominated the first half at one point, 33-19. It was exactly what I thought. K-State matched up well with KU. KU had problems defending Johnson. They had problems against Tomlin. K-State was a more athletic team, and I thought there was a chance K-State wins by 20. I thought there was a chance, the way it was going. But to KU's credit, and thank God for Jalen Wilson, if you're a Jayhawk fan, that kept you in the game. But with the changes that after that win last night, we're talking about K-State and their basketball program, their head coach, the message he's sending, and the fact that they won, and it wasn't a fluke. There is no fluke about that game last night. There is none. Yes, I and Dusty and Jason look smart because we predicted K-State to win. I look smart because a few weeks ago, actually it was about a month ago, I said K-State's going to beat KU at least once, if not more, this year. And I had KU fans telling me I'm insane. I had KU fans say, I'll believe it when I see it. Well, do you believe it now? Because it just happened.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a fluke. It was not a fluke at all. Not at all. Can K-State win in Lawrence? If you're a K-State fan, if you don't think you can win in Lawrence, then you don't know basketball. Because, yes, K-State can win in Lawrence in 13 days. Will they? I have no idea. But I'll tell you right now, I give them a 40-45% chance, maybe more, to win in Lawrence. I definitely think that could happen. Now, KU fans are going to say, well, there's no way we'll lose at Lawrence because we're going to have our three starters that aren't going to foul out. We're not going to miss all those threes. Mm-hmm. Well, K-State can say, we had a 14-point lead and we let you off the hook. So that's going to be an amazing rematch coming up in 13 days. But to me, the big change already by Jerome Tang One, if you can get the crowd to quit doing the FKU chant, that's awesome. But two, this was about K-State winning. The whole narrative after the game was K-State winning. And it wasn't because K-State got lucky or KU just played horrible. It was they flat out beat KU, and they were one play better. And that is all about Jerome Tang.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of people out there that don't follow me on Twitter to see what I said late last night about the game. Obviously, I couldn't watch it live, but I made a concerted effort to make sure I watched like a long highlight package, right? Mm-hmm. So I could actually see kind of how the game went, what happened. Now, obviously, I didn't see all the fouls and the free throws and the miscontinuity of the game that would be better if there wasn't that many fouls. But when you're watching that game and I'm watching these highlights, I'm like, I cannot think of a time, even when Jacob went for 38 that night on Valentine's Day, I cannot think of a time in my life watching K-State basketball. Again, I was 5 in 1988, so 88 and before that, when everybody says, hey, everything was close and this and this and this, we had great games and things like that. I've not seen in my life a K-State team that's playing the same game as KU.
Yeah.
They're in the same game doing the same things. Now, they do different things with different personnel. I'm not saying sure. They're running the same plays. What I'm saying is they're playing the same game. They're matching them blow for blow athletically. They're matching them blow for blow as a basketball team,
mm-hmm.
not as somebody that's going to, you know, throw maybe junk defenses at somebody to make them shoot poorly that night, to have a bad night, to get an upset that nobody was expecting. Now, I've seen it, right? Like you talked about. Yeah. I've seen Bruce Weber beat this team. I saw Jacob Pullen go for 38. It took a special night from him. They were not playing the same game as KU. You know why? KU was a national champion that year, and it didn't go well for K-State, right?
Right.
Not they weren't the national champion that year. They're the year that Beasley beat them. They were the national champion. But what I'm saying is they're just not playing the same game. And last night they were. And the recruits that Jerome Tang is bringing in are bona fide. There's two of them right now that are bona fide NBA prospects.
Absolutely.
Without a question. And I've not seen that. Beasley's obviously the exception to that because he was just outstanding.
Beasley and Walker would be the combination.
And Walker, if he wouldn't have got hurt, would have been the same type of player, right? And so that's what was the most encouraging for me is I'm watching this. I'm like, I've not seen this in my life. This is fun. This is very interesting. And I say, if he can continue to recruit like mm-hmm. that, this will become a rivalry and a real rivalry. And there's KU fans that understand that from what I saw last night. There's some of them that still are going to live in denial, kind of like K-State football fans will about Lance Leipold and the KU football program. But that was the thing that stood out the most to me is we're on the same level right now. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to win a national championship, but it's that kind of trajectory that you want to see.
Well, it's going to come off maybe a little egotistical, but I already knew this. I didn't have to see this last night. I already knew this.
But it's fun to see it in person, right?
But I mean that just quantifies it. It puts a stamp on it. But I already knew this. This is what I was trying to tell Max and other KU fans.
Exactly.
Because I know what happens. KU fans watch KU every single play, the diehards, and they watch some highlights or happen to tune in and catch K-State for a little while, and they might have caught K-State getting blown out by TCU and going, yeah, here we go. That's what I thought, you know? I've watched, I think, every KU game this year. Maybe I missed a half here and there. I've watched a lot of K-State games this year, and I noticed it when they played Butler, and they lost to Butler. I noticed it. I was like, first of all, K-State's got two NBA, I mean, Keontae Johnson, more than likely be a first-round NBA pick. Naquan Tomlin very well could be a first-round pick or even a lottery pick if he keeps ascending, and the kid didn't even play high school basketball, which is insane.
Mm-hmm.
Marquise Noel is, you know, it's going to be tough for him because he's so short for the NBA, but he is one of the best point guards in the country. K-State has three bona fide super outstanding players. Okay? KU, meanwhile, has Jalen Wilson, who is going to be an NBA player. Is he a lottery pick? I don't think so. Because he's kind of a tweener a little bit, but he could be. Grady Dick, if he goes, people have said he's going to be a first-round pick. All right, there's two. What other NBA picks does KU have right now?
It's not right now.
Not right now.
Right.
There's not anybody else right now. I mean, maybe KJ Adams will turn into a guy. I don't know. But the point is, the NBA talent-wise, these two teams are about even. And you might even give K-State a slight edge. And here's the topper for me that it just hit me as we were talking about all this. What does KU usually do after a timeout many times and they make a play to give them a lead or even win the game? It's a great out-of-bounds play after a timeout called by their head coach. Everybody talks about how great coaching that is, right? Bill Self is dangerous after a timeout. And a lot of times he'll do what? An alley-oop. Last night, Jerome Tang gave Bill Self a dose of his own medicine. It was an alley-oop on an out-of-bounds after, there was a play, of course, they had thrown timeout. And after a timeout, an out-of-bounds play, they set it up and get an alley-oop. That's what KU does to other people. K-State can play above the rim this year. KU always has had that advantage. K-State hardly ever plays above the rim, except when you go back to Beasley and Walker days. The Poland days, they didn't play above the rim, at all. Magruder days, they didn't. But they Dean Wade, they didn't, obviously. But this year's team can play and fly above the rim. And I even said late in the second half, I said K-State still doesn't have a dunk, which they're used to having a ton of them this year. This K-State team, if you take the name off their jersey and you forget what school they play for, if you didn't even know, you'd say they're fun to watch because, one, they get up and down. Two, they share the ball. Three, they can play above the rim. And that's what KU teams have done in the day. The best KU teams have been able to fly above the rim, right? The 08 team could fly above the rim. I mean, you've got you had teams back in the 90s that could. I mean, KU has had many teams that can, you know, alley-oop, great athleticism, and they still have a lot of that. You got KJ Adams, you know, Wilson. They've still got great athletes, don't get me wrong. But yeah, they are very similar already, and that's what's scary for KU fans. And I will say this, I don't see, and this is what's encouraging to me, I know it'll change, trust me, I know it's going to change. If Jerome Tang stays long enough, it'll change. If Lance Leipold stays at KU long enough, it will change. But right now, what's great about this is I don't see a lot of KU people having anything negative to say about Jerome Tang. In fact, I see KU people actually applauding Jerome Tang, even though Jerome Tang just beat Bill Self head-to-head. And I see a lot of K-State fans, believe it or not, giving some credit, going, wow, KU finally got it right. That Lance Leipold guy's a pretty good coach, and now we're a little bit concerned about KU football down the road. Now, here's the huge advantage that K-State has in regards to the rivalry from this standpoint. In basketball, you have two or three chances to upset KU. Whereas in football, you have one shot and that's it. So it's more likely.
Unless both of them get to the Big 12 championship.
Okay, now we're really dreaming. But, well, it might happen. OU and Texas leaving, although they haven't been very good the last couple of years anyway. But what I'm trying to say here is that, you know, it's going to be harder for KU in football to beat K-State than it will be for K-State to beat KU. We've already proven that. I mean, you got a brand new coach in 18 games, and he already beat KU.
First time he played
already. First time he ever played Bill Self head-to-head, he won. You know, Lance Leipold is going to probably take him a few more times. Maybe next year will be the time. Maybe KU will beat K-State in football next year. But it's great. It's terrific for the rivalry because KU finally got it right when it comes to a football coach. And the good thing is they've locked him up. There are people, supposedly Nebraska, is interested in trying to pry him away, and they've locked him up and they've got him for a while. At least they hope so. And K-State will be very smart to roll out as much money as they need to keep Jerome Tang, okay? And he's doing great things on and off the court. And you finally got the right guy. You finally identified and got the right guy to make your men's basketball program what it should be, because contrary to what young people don't understand, K-State men's basketball used to be tremendous before everything went south, okay? Back in the late 80s and in the 90s. And KU football has been good at times over the years. I mean, for crying out loud, they had Gale Sayers and Nolan Cromwell. They've had some great athletes way back in the day, too. So you finally got the right people in place. Now, the question is, are you going to be able to keep them? Are they going to be able to keep up this momentum? Yeah. Because if you suddenly don't have a quarterback in KU football, it don't matter who the coach is, KU's going to struggle. All right? And if you're a K-State and you've got Jerome Tang and he suddenly can't recruit some of the best players to K-State, that's going to dry up very quickly. And people are going to turn on him just like any other coach. But he got Keontae Johnson, was a huge transfer get. Okay, so Noel was a great get that Bruce Weber brought in last year. Desi Sills is a great get. Tomlin's just a tremendous find by their coaching staff. That's tremendous. And remember, they only have two players off of last year's team, and that's Masood, who's a role player now, which is what he should be. Last year, he had to like basically start and play a ton of minutes. That tells you how much better this team is this year. No offense to Masood, but it's true. And Noel, of course, they lost Nigel Pack, and that's who they want to keep him. And he left. So K-State's done, they've completely overhauled the roster, and they're 16-2, and they're right there with KU atop the Big 12 standings. It's pretty amazing. Now, there is a honeymoon period with any coach.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay? And so, Jerome Tang, can he keep this going? Can he be a regular Big 12 championship contender, as he pointed out? And if you do that, then you're a national championship contender, and it's true. The Big 12 is the best conference in the league. It's not even relatively close this year. So, if you win the Big 12, you're going to be a one seed. That means you're a national championship contender automatically. Okay, you might be second or third in the Big 12, and you're a 2 or a 3 or a 1 seed. So you're automatically, if you're number 1, 2, or 3 in the Big 12, yes, you're a Final Four contender. And if you're a Final Four contender, to me, you're a national championship contender. And I'm going to tell you something right now. And KU fans are going to be like, oh my gosh, you're really going too far with this. K-State's beat 4 ranked teams already. 4. They're 5-1 in the toughest conference in America. They're tied atop the conference standings with Big Bad Kansas. Why isn't K-State why are they not a national championship contender now?
I think I wanted you to say it first. Yeah.
They are. I'm going to tell you right now, they are. I'm going to tell you right now, and I know I'm not bleeding purple, and I'm not seeing it through purple glasses. I'm going to tell you right now, and this is something that I've been close to saying, but I wanted to see it last night.
Uh-huh.
Kansas State is a Final Four caliber team, which means they're a national championship contender at this moment. Now, you can sit here and say, well, they're gonna flounder, and they're going to go south, and they're going to lose two or three they shouldn't, and they're going to be 12-6 in the Big 12, and they'll be a 4 seed, and they're not going to make the Final Four. There'll be a nice run of the Sweet 16, which still would be a hell of a year for K-State and Jerome Tang in his first year, wouldn't it? If you would have, as a K-State fan, when Jerome Tang was hired, if you would have told K-State fans, okay, Jerome Tang in his first year is going to take you to the Sweet 16, you're going to finish third in the Big 12. K-State fans would have signed up so quickly it would have made your head spin. Now we're sitting here going, they're a Final Four contender. Listen, they're a contender to win the Big 12. And any KU fan that denies that, you aren't paying attention. You didn't see anything last night. You missed the game. K-State is at the top of the Big 12 standings. Okay, and if you're at the top of the Big 12 standings right now, and they have not had a horrible non-con game other than the Butler game, they had one down one, okay? KU lost by 14 to Tennessee. I know they're a top 10 team. But the bottom line is this. If you're near the top of the Big 12, you are a national championship contender. You are. Iowa State is too. Now, I think more people would buy into KU and K-State before Iowa State, but Iowa State, it took a KJ Adams bucket for KU to beat them. And Iowa State's beating really good teams by double digits in Ames. They're better at home than K-State and KU. So the Big 12, the best conference in America, everybody agrees on that, and K-State's tied atop the conference standings. How can you say they're not a national championship contender?
You can't look at it like I said a little bit ago. I wanted you to say it first, but when I look at this team and you look at what could happen in an NCAA tournament with matchups that can go your way if they're positive, and you have two NBA prospects on your team, you got Keontae Johnson, that's a dude that's just going to take over mm-hmm. in the NCAA
and
tournament.
And you got a tremendous point guard.
And a point guard, exactly, that can dish. If he's not scoring, he's still going to be effective, and mm-hmm. he's still going to be huge for your team.
Yes.
And just a bulldog out there defensively, too, right? And you've got guys that can make stops when they need to. You've got a coach that can adjust mid-game when he needs to, that can draw up a play. And you got a smart NBA prospect in Keontae Johnson. I was listening to him talking about that play last night. He's like, there's two options for me there. Mm-hmm. He's like, I can go out to the wing, but I told Keese in the huddle that Jalen's going to overplay the wing. I'm going to spin off and go to the rim. Throw it there, get it to me, and we'll get it.
That's basketball IQ.
And he has it. There's no doubt. He is not just a star. He knows the game.
He does.
And Coach Tang knows how to adjust in the game. And that's, again, like I was talking about something I probably haven't seen since Huggins. Frank Martin, I don't think was a great adjusting in-game coach.
Agreed.
I think he could get a lot out of his players. But, you know, the 1 year with Huggins, I think, was a year where I saw that in my life for K-State. Mm-hmm. Just so many things I'm not seeing in the past that I am this year with K-State basketball. And it's wild to think about where this team actually could be if they continue to play like this and in a favorable matchup and a favorable bracket in the tournament.
And they've got one of the best guys, you could argue, the best sixth man in the country, possibly.
Yes.
Well, if he plays like he did last night, yeah. Desi Sills was tremendous
and
last night.
And he's another one that he has so much length, too,
mm-hmm.
that I saw him just time a block shot against West Virginia from half court. He saw the dude on the other side.
Yeah.
Just timed it perfect, just block. Like, he's got good IQ, too, and he understands that whatever he can do
yeah.
for this team to win, he's going to do it. And last night it was scoring.
I'll tell you this right now. If I compare K-State and KU after that game last night, K-State's the better offensive team. They are. KU's the better defensive team.
Absolutely.
Because K-State, I mean, there was times K-State had some breakdowns defensively. But you made a very good point. You said they get stops when they need them. And they have. I mean, you can sit here and Bill Self can blame himself about what he drew up and what it didn't work. The bottom line is K-State forced two turnovers, one at the end of regulation, one at the end of overtime. That's the defense stepping up and making plays. And if you got athletes, they should be able to make plays on defense. Now, sometimes they might tune out a little bit, and they're all about scoring, and then eventually they lock it in, and they flip a switch defensively, and that's great to have that. But that would be maybe the little bit of concern with K-State is, you know, defensively being more consistent, and I would argue
a game like TCU,
where
it's just not working for you.
I would argue KU probably needs to be more consistent offensively. KU fans would say, well, yeah, if three of our starters don't foul out, we could have that consistency. But McCullough wasn't doing anything anyway. He hadn't scored the whole night, and he struggled to shoot. And then Grady missed some shots, too. So it was just a tremendous game last night. Now, I want to get to, in fairness, you know, yesterday we were talking about, and Jerome Tang said it, his words, not even mine, although I echo these words, the dumb FKU chant. Okay? Now, last night, in Ames, Iowa, number 12 Iowa State won 78-67 over number 7 Texas. Iowa State is tied atop the Big 12 with KU and K-State at 5-1. They're 14-3 overall. They're 10-0 at home. Tyrese Hunter, outstanding freshman last year, decided to transfer from Iowa State, a team that made it to the Sweet 16 a year ago. Okay, he decided to transfer. He transferred in conference to Texas. Texas comes to Ames last night, and I saw the video. I'll at least say this, and maybe this has happened, and I don't know, and I'm not aware, and somebody can correct me. And this is really kind of getting sad that I go this far with it, but at least when K-State does the FKU chant, it's directed at the basketball program or the university or, yes, the team, but not picking on a particular individual, okay? And I know there are different signs that people have that are derogatory towards players of the other team. I know that. But I, and once again, maybe I've missed it, but I've been to lots of sporting events in my time. I have never heard a crowd chant F you or F a player by name in a loud chant in unison. Now, we know K-State does it with FKU, all right? We've established this. But I haven't heard them say F DeJuan Harris. I don't hear them say F Jalen Wilson. Maybe they do. Maybe I've missed it. Maybe it happened last night. I don't know. But last night, Tyrese Hunter is, I believe, 19 years of age. He transferred from Iowa State, which he has the right to do, to Texas. Bryce Thompson left Kansas and went to Oklahoma State, and Bryce Thompson came back. I was at that game this year. Bryce Thompson had a great game, former Jayhawk, McDonald's All-American. The KU fans booed him, but there was no F Bryce Thompson. There was no chant derogatory towards Bryce Thompson. Okay, there was not one towards Tristan Unaruna, who, by the way, was a KU player who went to Iowa State within conference. But last night, Tyrese Hunter had to deal with the student body chanting F Tyrese Hunter. Not F Texas, not FKU, F Tyrese Hunter. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how you feel about that, but I think when you get to that point, and it's specifically at a player by name, who did nothing wrong or illegal, and even if he did, that still doesn't allow you to do that, I think all those students should be thrown out of the building. I think they should be escorted out. The problem is there's so many, so you're probably not going to be able to, and then you probably might have a riot, and so you don't want to deal with it. And then you risk those people not wanting to come back to games, spending their money or concessions or supporting the team. So I know it's a slippery slope for an administration. I get that. But at least Jerome Tang is trying at Kansas State. Is Iowa State trying? Did T.J. Otzelberger come out after the game and say, listen, our crowd was great, but we need to really not do what we just did? Now, maybe he did. Maybe I missed it. I don't know. But Tyrese Hunter transferred. Tyrese Hunter is 19. I know Chris Beard left Texas Tech and went to the rival Texas. Iowa State to Texas is not rival to rival, okay? The equivalent for us here in North Central Kansas would be if a guy from KU transferred to K-State or vice versa, right? And that may, and you know what? KU and K-State fans might do the exact same thing. I'm not saying they're beneath doing it. They are above doing it. They might. Chris Beard got a horrible welcome back to Lubbock because he left Texas Tech, made his name at Texas Tech, went, people thought, took all the money, went to Texas, and got treated really badly and poorly. And people don't bat an eye about that. And I'm not sitting here saying that you should or shouldn't be worried about Chris Beard. He's an adult. He's a man. And he chose to do what he did, which is not illegal. He has the right to do that. But I do, and I guess I let that go a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't. But when you're doing this to a 19, and that was a rivalry situation, Texas Tech to Texas in-state. When you're doing this with Tyrese Hunter, and I know you're jilted, and I know it's a backhanded compliment. You love Tyrese Hunter, and you so badly want him to stay on Iowa State's team. But you're just as good as Texas this year without Tyrese Hunter. And Texas has Tyrese Hunter. And so this would go back to the Jerome Tang thing. You know what? Let's go ahead and support Iowa State basketball and the players that choose to play for our university and not get caught up in a guy that chose to go to another university. And if Tyrese Hunter got NIL money to go to Texas, good for him. That is legal. He's allowed to do it. But I have a big problem, and be consistent in my argument. I do not like the FKU chant. I can't stand it. There are a lot of K-Staters that don't. But Iowa State last night, F Tyrese Hunter, in unison. It wasn't one person. That, I think, is going too far. Because you're singling out an individual player. And, I mean, he's 19. He's not 39 and is a coach that left your university. Okay? KU, Roy Williams came back. I didn't remember people saying F Roy Williams.
Right.
I mean, and you could have because he said he was going to stay forever. He didn't think the job would come up a second time, so forth and so on. Bob Huggins comes back to Manhattan. Do they do F Bob Huggins?
No. We actually stand up and cheer for him.
You actually do, which is weird because he left you after 1 year. Uh-huh. You could actually be mad about it, but he wasn't there long enough for you to love him enough, probably, but you still like him. I was appalled. I was appalled that Iowa State student section was saying F Tyrese Hunter. And he's 19 years old. And he's one of many people that have transferred. And I guarantee Iowa State got kids that have transferred other schools to Iowa State.
Caleb Grill left and came back.
Yeah, that's right. Caleb Grill from Mays.
I've said this before the portal became a big thing, before NIL, just the last few. I have this argument with my friends. If a 19 or a 17 or an 18-year-old kid changing his mind about where he wants to go to college ruins your day or ruins your mood, that is a you problem. It's not a Tyrese Hunter problem. Is a you problem. That's about all I have to say about that.
I agree. Short and sweet, and you're right. You're absolutely dead on. So that was – I thought that was deplorable. I really did. I thought it was deplorable. Texas Tech, by the way, they fall to 0-6 with a loss to Baylor last night, 81-74. So Tech 0-6 comes to Manhattan. Trap game, man. That's a huge trap game.
Absolutely.
Texas Tech is desperate.
It's the definition, for sure.
And K-State's feeling great about everything. Yeah. So this can be a real test for K-State coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Tonight, number 14, TCU's at West Virginia at 6 o'clock on ESPN+. And Oklahoma meets Oklahoma State in Bedlam at 8 o'clock on ESPNU. Big 12 women's hoops tonight. KU and K-State both on the court. Jayhawks 12-4, 2-3 in the conference, hosting West Virginia, 7 o'clock on ESPN+. K-State women at Baylor at 7 o'clock on ESPN+. Wildcats 12-6, just 1-4 in the Big 12. And so our focus on K-State athletics today, brought to you as always by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Let's turn to NFL for a quick moment. The NFL, the injury report for the Chiefs. If you're expecting Mecole Hardman to be back and playing in the playoffs like a lot of people did, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Did not practice yesterday. Seems like he's had a setback, pelvis injury. So he is probably not going to play coming up this weekend in the playoffs. Frank Clark, limited participant with groin injury. Sky Moore, full participant with a hand, so it looks like he'll be good to go. Legarius Sneed, a hip, full participant. That's it. That's all you got on the injury report for the Chiefs. That's it. That's great. Obviously, Clark's the one I think most are concerned about. Hardman, I still thought, if you bring him back in the situation, he'd be a little bit rusty. Now, I should point out that Jody Fortson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire practiced. I don't think the Chiefs need Clyde Edwards-Helaire on this roster unless a running back gets hurt. And I don't want to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire get any snaps in this game coming up on Saturday.
No.
But I fear he might. Now, here's the big news. Trevor Lawrence, limited participant with a toe injury. I joke. He'll be fine. It's a toe injury. He'll be fine. He'll play everything else. So both teams are in pretty decent shape. Offensive lineman Brandon Scherff did not practice, but that was Tuesday. Okay, so the Jackson, he has time to be ready to go by Saturday. Once again, we'll have the game. We'll join the pregame in progress after the KU game coming up on Saturday on Z96.3 Lake. And we end with what every hockey fan wanted to hear: release the Kraken. The Seattle Kraken are 26-14, their second year as a NHL franchise. They won 8 in a row. How do I know this? Because I watch every single second of their hockey matches. They won 8 in a row, but they've lost their last two. They did lose last night to the Edmonton Oilers 5-2. But did you know that my Kraken, I am the founder and only member of the Seattle Kraken fan club in North Central Kansas. Notice I founded it and I'm my only member. They are second in the Pacific Division. They're only 2 points out of first place. Las Vegas, the only team ahead of them in their division. And they're the fourth best team in the West, and they're a second-year franchise. So I missed it by a year. I said last year they were going to just take the world by storm as an expansion franchise like the Las Vegas Knights. I missed it by a year. But now they figured it out. They just needed 1 year to get their feet wet. And now they're releasing the Kraken on everybody. And the Seattle Kraken are Kraken. They are absolutely winning. Except for the last two, won 8 in a row. And I must say, it was quite the beautiful development for me seeing that on the timeline the other day going, huh, my Kraken are kicking butt.
Yeah, that's
because
how I can tell
I have, you. I've watched, I think, the opening game this year. I watched about a little bit of a first period and went to bed because they're on the West Coast, so they were, you know, late game. So, full disclosure, I've not watched much of the Kraken at all.
I was just going to say, I was like, that's how I can tell you're watching every game, when they have an 8-game winning streak and then lose 2 in a row, and then you bring
it
up.
And then I bring it up. Right, exactly. Yes. I bring it up after they won 8 games. It actually was on my list to bring up on Monday.
Oh, there's so much stuff going on that it's...
I forgot it.
You bury it, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know hockey's huge around here. Somebody said this the other day, I was having this discussion, I think it was Alan. Over at Astra Healthcare and Wellness, new business there at the old Swisher Chiropractic building. He's going to open on Monday, so there's a free plug for him. And Alan, hope you appreciate that.
Yeah.
But him and I were talking the other day, and how it'd be great to have, you know, besides the Chiefs and Royals, it'd be great to have either an NBA team or an NHL team in Kansas City. And obviously, you got the T-Mobile Center. You usually could have it. The idea when they built that was to have a tenant, and they don't. They host the Big 12 Championship and all that good jazz and concerts and whatnot. Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have the NBA in Kansas City, which has been there before and left? Kansas City Kings went to Sacramento. Or would you rather have NHL hockey? I'm going to tell you what I would prefer, and this is true. I'm not being facetious or sarcastic now. I would want hockey because I think there's too much basketball. Mm-hmm. Because you've got KU, you've got Missouri, you've got K-State. That is a college basketball town. That is not a pro basketball town, Kansas City. Hockey, they've had the Blades, and they've had other semi-pro teams, and they've had minor league teams there before.
Scouts from the NHL were there way back when in the 70s.
That's true. Now, good point. I'm glad you brought that up. And so, obviously, they've lost that, too. But I think an NHL team would be better for Kansas City than an NBA team. Now, I may be wrong about that, but for me, personally, I've gone to multiple NBA games. I've gone to a couple NHL games. The hockey games are more entertaining. They're cheaper to attend, usually, too. And I think there's enough basketball to where hockey had a better chance of surviving in Kansas City than the NBA. That's just my two cents. I don't know if you agree or disagree.
No, I was actually going to say there's two different answers that I have.
Right.
Because as a fan of what I watch,
you'd rather watch basketball.
Rather have an NBA team,
sure.
Right? Like
me too.
I wouldn't have my team wouldn't be like 12 hours away south,
right,
that
San
I support
Antonio.
And cheer for, right?
Or for me, 4.5 hours to Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and so for that aspect of it, I would not mind having a Kansas City team to cheer
sure.
for in the NBA because that's something I follow and watch.
Right.
As far as what would succeed in Kansas City, NHL, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Way ahead of the NBA.
Yeah, so maybe we can.
Unless an NBA team would just like come in and just win right away, but as an expansion, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, unless you get a team to relocate.
Somebody relocates would be more ideal for Kansas City for NBA.
And that's what happened with Seattle relocating OKC.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then Durant, Westbrook, and all that. That made it work. All right, that wraps up the show today. What a game last night. KU and K-State. Bring on round two. 13 days from now, and I won't be able to watch it live. And Dusty's like, boo-hoo, I didn't get to watch it live last night either. Dusty's going to miss both of them because he's doing high school basketball. What we do and sacrifice for our student-athletes. Okay, just messing around with you.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.